Hashem, let's begin Maimer Tes of Pachad Yitzchok for Chanukah. The Braisa in Masechta Sofrim in the 20th Perek, Haneros Halalu Kodeshem, V'ein Lanu Rishus L'shtamish Bahem. The Braisa establishes the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Neros, and as a result, we have no Heter Shtamshus, we're not allowed to use them for our purposes. Ela L'rosom Bilvad. So there are two dimensions here that are emphasized by the Braisa. Number one, the Kedusha Saneros and Iser Shtamshus. Number two, the Heter of Re'iyah. And ostensibly, there's no connection between the two. The Iser Shtamshus would not engender an Iser Re'iyah. The Heter Re'iyah is Poshut. It's given. Re'iyah is not called Ishtamshus. Ishtamshus is when he used the object. He's just seeing the Ner. So since the Heter Re'iyah has no shaychus, has no relation to the Kedusha Saner, why was the Braisa interested in mentioning in the same breath the Kedusha and the Iser Shtamshus and the Heter Re'iyah? Heter Re'iyah is not because of Kedusha, not because of a Heter in the Kedusha. It's not a limitation, if you will, the sanctity, the status of the Ner, but rather it's not considered Ishtamshus at all. We don't find an Iser Re'iyah with regard to anything. Now, the second problem is, and here we're fast-forwarding to a Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Nun Ches Omid Beis. Haroe Chacham Michachme Yisrael Mivarech Baruch Shecholak Michachmaso Lireo. Faroa Chacham Michachme Umos Mivarech Baruch Shenasan Michachmaso Libosar Vidon. So the Gemara establishes two different matbeos of a bracha that we recite when we perceive a Chacham. If it's a Chacham Michachme Yisrael, it's one matbea. And if it's a Chacham Michachme Umos, it's a different matbea. This difference between the two would seem to be a reflection of the quality of Chachma. In the case of Chachma Satora, it's appropriate to say Shecholak, meaning Chachma Satora is part of Chachmas HaKadosh Baruch of the Divine Wisdom. In the case of a Chacham who is wise and knowledgeable in Chachmas HaTeva, the understanding and the knowledge of natural law, it's Shenosan. It's something that God bestows upon the Chacham. But the Braisa seems to add another condition. The Chacham of the Chachmas HaTorah has to be Miyisrael. The Chacham of the Chachmas HaTeva is from the Umos HaOlam. Now, on the one hand, we understand very well that the mitzvah, the existence or the reality of Chachmas HaTorah amongst the Umas Olam, that doesn't count at all. That it's not part of the cheshbon. It's poshut that there's no mitzvah that would obligate a bracha for a Chacham in Chachmas HaTorah if he's a member of the Umas Olam. The pasuk in Dvarim in Perek Lamed Gimel, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Tes expands upon this, Morasha Kehilas Yaakov, meaning that the Torah is the inheritance of the community of Israel. It doesn't apply to the Umas Olam. But let's flip it around the other way. Isn't there a tremendous chiddush here in the nusach, in the language of the Gemara in Brachos, that if a Jew, if a member of Klal Yisrael is a Chacham, the Chachmas HaTeva, then that reality, that situation doesn't engender a Chiv Bracha. There's no Bracha at all. Even though Chachmas HaTeva, in and of itself, would seem to obligate and generate a Chiv Bracha, but if the bailim of that Chachmas HaTeva, that natural scientific knowledge, is a Jew, is Israel, so why would that bailus be mafkia, the bracha that's engendered by Chachmas HaTeva? If Chachmas HaTeva deserves a bracha, there's no reason to drop, to omit that bracha in the case of Israel, who is a Chacham. Why should the bailus of Yisrael be mafkia, completely undermine the bracha on Chachma? What is the inner deeper meaning of this hafkah that excludes a Yisrael from the bracha on the chachma of the chachma of teva. And the perhaps golden key to unlock these mysteries would be the Lashon of the Ramban in his introduction to his great work, the Milchamas Hashem, on the Rif. The Ramban writes, Ki yodea kol lomei talmudenu. Anyone who studies our Talmud knows, She'ein b'chochma zos mofes chotech. Kigon cheshbone hatishbores v'nisyoni atchuna. We would like to explain the language of the Ramban. First, we'll translate the words. He says that our Chachma, the Chachma of Torah, of Talmud, does not lend itself to the clear-cut kind of evidence and proofs that are absolute with regard to the world of Teva. If you take a look into the world of science and mathematics, there is what we call a system of verification. There is a system of proofs. You go into the laboratory, or you calculate it in according to strict rules, and you prove your conclusion, you establish that your premise is correct. We don't find, says the Ramban, the same kind of approach of proof and evidence in the case of Chochmas HaTalmud. We'll try to explain this a little bit better, what the Ramban means, that Ein B'Chochmas Talmudenu Mofes Chotech, etc. Let's focus our attention for a moment on the concept of bris with regard to Torah. Meaning with regard to a bris as mentioned in the Torah. The concept of bris mentioned in the Torah, we'll give a few examples, is identified with an eternal covenant or commitment. There is no termination. We are talking about a bris that establishes something for Netzach, for Sela, for Ad, for all of eternity. In the case, for example, the bris of the Keshes, of the rainbow, with Noach, or for example, in the case of the bris Milah, with Avram Avinu, the bris has an impact that establishes actively a Pu'ulas Olam, a change and a commitment that is eternal. The Torah does differentiate between the eternity of the bris of the Keshes, in the case of Noach, and the eternity of the bris of Milah, in the case of Avram. The eternity, the eternal Netzach nature of the bris HaKeshes, which is written Lidoros Olam in the Torah, and we'll tell you exactly where to find this. It says in Brachos Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud, that this bris of the Keshes is a bris olam, and that is true. So we don't deny that the bris of the Keshes is a bris olam. But in the case of the eternity of the bris milah, we fast forward to Brachos Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel, and there too we find the term bris olam. However, when we study and we try to interpret these psukim, we have to go back and review some of the things that we've said in the past in our base medrash. And we have to know that even if we repeat and review them 101 times, we'll never really find that we can come up with the depth and have a total, as we say, control or understanding of the depth and the spirit of what's going on over here. These are concepts that are so profound. Let's fast forward to the end of Chumash in Dvarim Perek Lamed. Re'ei nasati lufanecha es hatov v'esara, etc. And then the Torah says, u'bacharta b'chaim, in the same pasuk. When it says, re'ei nasati lufanecha, if we emphasize the word lufanecha, lufanecha means HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I placed in front of you, meaning Knesset Yisrael. That's the meaning of Lefanecha. And it's really something amazing when we think about it. The giving of Bechira, the endowing of a choice, a freedom of choice, to choose between Tov v'Ra, between Chaim and Moves, ostensibly, is not something that reflects the unique singular nature of Klal Yisrael. We have 613 mitzvahs, and we have to exercise our freedom of choice with regard to that challenge, but in a parallel way, every single member of humanity, any single person who's Bo Yolam, who came into this world, has freedom of choice with regard to his or her seven mitzvahs. So therefore, it absolutely becomes clear that the giving of Bechira of Chofshis, the endowment of choice, of freedom of choice, and choosing between two tzadim, between Tov v'Ra, is absolutely universal and applies to Bnei Noach. And therefore, why does the Pasuk say, Reina Sati Lefanecha, Dafka Lefanecha, in front of Klal Yisrael, Es HaTov Es HaRa Bachar Te Bachayim? But we should understand it in this way. There's an entire parasha in the Torah that teaches us that before Maimon Har Sinai, before the Torah was given, there was a process of question and answer that took place, in which if Klal Yisrael will agree to accept upon herself to enter into the obligation of Torah mitzvahs, and this you'll find in Shmos Yutes, Im Tekablu, Im Lo Tekablu, and the Gemara expands upon this in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Peches. And we don't find something like that with regard to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. This concept of Im Tekablu V'im Lo Tekablu, the Kof Aleim HaKigigas, the choice that B'nei Yisrael have to face to accept the Torah or not, we find with regard to Tarik Mitzvahs for Klal Yisrael. We don't find it with regard to the seven Mitzvahs of B'nei Noach. Something parallel we don't find. The conclusion we have to derive for this is that the command to B'nei Noach of the seven Mitzvahs was not contingent upon Ritzui and Askama, the acceptance by choice, the consent by will of humanity. In this way, we can say that qualitatively, essentially, there's a difference between Tariq Mitzvahs and Sheva Mitzvahs. With regard to Tariq Mitzvahs, the Tzivui comes into, the mandate comes into existence on the basis of a Masu Matan, of a question and answer, of a certain, in a sense, a giving and taking. There's a give and taking that has to come before the mandate of the Tariq Mitzvahs. And therefore we find in Tekablu, in Lo Tekablu. Those are the two sides. You won't find this with two sides in the case of the command of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And what we really see here is an expression of a fascinating phenomenon of two categories of das. And we'll try to explain what that means. Let's use the following mashal in order to explicate this idea. There are two qualities of das that manifest themselves in an action of commitment, of ischaivus. And when a person takes upon himself a commitment, he has to pay up, there's a piron, he has to live up to his commitment. There's a das that is boeles b'maisa ischaivus. In other words, that knowledge, that understanding, that wisdom of man expresses itself in an act of commitment. It's a das which, in a sense, creates a new reality. There couldn't be a hischaivus that emerged, a commitment, without das hamischaiv. If, for example, I take upon myself to pay the ksuba for my wife, that's a das hischaivus. The mais hischaivus is engendered by das, and without das, without complete will, there is no ischaivus. The das itself, the human will and consent, is what creates and generates the reality of a commitment. But in the case of Piron, In the case of paying up, of living up to one's commitment, the das is not a das of creating a reality. A person could be forced and compelled against his will to return a chov, to pay back and live up to his commitment. Even shalom midas. Porea midas, if a person decides to pay back, the das is really coming only, it's only playing a role as haskama, to agree to the reality that exists even without das. You're just sort of accepting that legal reality as is, without das. The das doesn't create the existence or the reality of a piron, of a payback. The das is chayvus, and the das of piron are essentially two different categories of das. In the case of das is chayvus, the das is a das hayotzeres, it's a knowledge and a consent which creates something new. What's being born into this world is a legal commitment that's binding. In the case of piron, on the other hand, the das is nothing more than a das hamaskeves, maskima, to agree with the fact that this is in reality a piron, but that piron is thrust upon a person even against his will, as a man is compelled to this piron, whether he likes it or not, and it can be forced and foisted upon him. This mashal will hopefully clarify the fundamental difference between the two types of das with regard to, on the one hand, the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and on the other hand, the Tarig Mitzvahs. The das of the seven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is a das of Haskama, meaning whether or not the human being willingly accepts upon himself and eagerly consents to the seven Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. These mandates are compulsory, and the das does not create the obligation, the commitment of Sheva Mitzvahs. The command and the mandate is not dependent upon any maso matan, any give and take that came before it, but rather it's a das hamaskemes. It's a das of piron hachov. We have to live up to that commitment with regard to the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. However, in the case of Tariq mitzvahs, the das is a das hayotzeres. It's only as a result of the power of das that there is a creation of this reality of chova, of obligation, of tzivui, of a mandate. Without the hischayvus, without the precondition of a das hamischayev, the tzivui and the obligation do not exist. They don't come into this world at all. And the depth of understanding this difference, the most profound, how should we say, yesod of this difference between the two categories of das, is really inherent in the comparison of these two types of das with regard to the essence of two different systems that this das, or these two categories of das, are related to. There's one system of the Tarek mitzvahs, and here we find the statement in Chazal. The statement in Chazal here is, let's read it out loud, a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. If you see it, Ein lecha mitzvah shebatorah she'ein tchiyas ha-mesim tluya ba. In other words, the bris of the Tariq mitzvahs, the acceptance of a covenant of commitment with regard to the fulfillment of 613, is a bris of tchiyas ha-mesim. That's what the Gemara says in Masechta Kiddushin. With regard to the fulfillment of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, we're not interpreting that as something that brings the world to a state of tchiyas ha-mesim. With regard to the bris that was established, the covenant with Noach, that there would never be a mabul, there would never be a destruction of the world, that the natural law of the universe as it exists before the Mabul will continue to exist after the Mabul forever and ever, then we're not talking about creating something new. We're not talking about the emergence of a new entity called Tchiyas HaMesim, a new experience, a new phenomenon in this universe. No, we're talking in terms of Sheva Mitzvahs, of the continuation of the laws of nature, of the Kiyum HaTeva. In the case of Taryag Mitzvahs, as we saw in the Gemara Kiddushin, they have the power through this bris to create a new reality of life after death. Chaim B'li Misa. Because after Tchiyas HaMesim there will no longer be death. The Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach does not engender any sort of new creation. All it does is it gives maintenance and sustenance to continue the Metzius, the reality that exists already. These two categories of Das appropriately correspond to the two different systems that they're related to. The system of Tariq Mitzvahs, which means to create a new entity which is called life after death, and life that's not subject to death. That new reality of Tchiyas HaMesim can only come into being as a result of Das HaYotzeres. Without the Das, the precondition of first having the Das to be Mekabel, to accept upon ourselves this system that includes 613 mitzvahs, there would be no possibility of this system of 613 mitzvahs, and Memela, as we say, there would no be Ein Lecha Mitzvah Shebetorah Shein Tchiyas HaMesim Tluya Ba. But in terms of the system of the Sheva Mitzvahs, we're not talking about anything beyond Shmiras HaKiyum, preserving that which is already in existence, and therefore it doesn't depend upon that kind of Das that is a positive Das, a commitment that creates a new entity. Before the decision of Das with regard to Sheva Mitzvahs and that entire system, there was no pre-existing Hachlot of Das, some sort of decision, well, it makes sense and we'll accept upon ourselves the Sheva Mitzvahs. Because in this case, this Maroch of Sheva Mitzvahs, Hey Adina? Hi, how's it going? Oh, great. Thank you so much. I wanted to give you a bracha for Shabbos. Yivarech Adinoi v'shmech yonadai parav eilecha v'ichuneko yisoydai parav eilecha v'yaseim l'cha shalom. Yisimech Elohim kisara rivka racham aleya. You should have a great Shabbos and a great Chanukah. What's left of Chanukah.
When?
Oh, Ima wants to wish you a good Shabbos too.
No. That's a
month. Oh, okay. Ima's on the other phone. I didn't realize it. Okay, so send my love to everybody. Yeah, thanks. Have a great Shabbos. We love you. Bye-bye.
I could, but it'll cost me $100 to go anyway.
What are we looking at here? My gosh. I just can't stop.
I know, but you
it's
need
unbelievable.
Garbage. Okay, this is a natural thing for you put two under your tongue every 10 minutes for 2 hours.
Okay. Now what's it supposed to do? Heal the cold?
Yeah.
Oh, no!
What?
I just opened it and everything flew out.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. can only be related to that type of das, which is a das of haskama, which reflects itself and manifests itself after a command. The power of this das is only to, in a sense, recognize the existence of a tzivui, of a mandate. But it does not create anything new. The language of the Pachad Yitzchak is Avol me'olam lo haya shum hechleit das lo holid es mareches Hashem mitzvos. There was no conscious decision on the part of mankind that engendered this system of the seven mitzvahs. Das l'novon nekel ki advar manal b'nogel mareches hatarig mitzvos noagim b'chol abriso shel toruv mitzvos. With regard to the bris of Torah and mitzvahs, which we find at the time of Har Sinai, the bris of Har Sinai is, if you will, the paradigm, the father of all the brisos. And that bris, which engenders Tariq mitzvahs, is a bris in which Klal Yisrael enter with a das hamischayev. When we mention Maimed Har Sinai, that's only really an example of the many brisos of Torah mitzvahs which were entered into and established after Maimed Har Sinai. Every single bris, according to its own particular character, is born out of a power, out of a halachic process of Das HaYotzeres. And without that decision of Das as a precondition to accept the mitzvahs, to accept the bris, it's impossible for that bris to be entered into and to be an absolute commitment. Every bris in its own way comes to establish this new, shall we say, a stronger connection, to tighten the connection between Klal Yisrael and the Torah. And therefore, when Chazal say in Kiddushin Ein Lecha Mitzvah Bat Torah Shein Tchias HaMesim Tchuyava, what they really mean to say is that the essence of the connection between Klal Yisrael and the Torah is a chidush of creation, and it creates Tchias HaMesim, the Achris HaYom in the end of days. Is therefore the das, the decision and the commitment on the part of Klal Yisrael that tightens this connection, is a das of Yitzira, not a das of Haskama. I'm reminded of the Gemara in Bar Metzia, second parak of Yeyu Shalom Midas. The whole question about Yeyu Shalom Midas really revolves around this categorization of das. In Kinyonim, we need a positive das, a das hayotzeres, similar to a das hamischayev. But there are cases in which the Torah requires nothing more than a das hamaskemes binichusa. It's noach lo. For example, in terms of Hechsher Lekabolas Tuma, with the Zayin Mashkin, if water falls on payrolls, and I'm happy about that, I don't have a das HaMischayev to be Machshir the payrolls. All I need is Nichole. And there are many other examples of that, where I just accept a pre-existing condition, but my acceptance is not the precondition, the prerequisite for the halachic result and the chalos that comes into being. And therefore, the case of Yeush, one could ask, what is Yeush? Is Yeush just a haskama? I realize that the situation has already been set in stone, with my will or without my will. There's a shema avu, the object is lost. I'm just being maskim, oily, violently, michisar and kiss. Or is Yeush a sort of das makne, in which a person transfers his ownership into the ownership of Hefker, And perhaps we could talk about Yeush Shalomidas as valid insofar as Yeush is a haskava, similar to Kiyitein Mayim, when the water is on the peros, all you need is haskava later on. We have that also in Shlichus of Truma, when the Meshaleach comes and he says, you know, I'm maskim, klach lechai to Yofos. So the Shliach acts on behalf of the Meshaleach. The question is whether he was mafresh the correct truma from the correct amounts from the right place and so forth and so on. And all we need is the haskama now, because the shlichus already is a chalos that operates. You just have to agree and accept the situation. That's called nichale. And that would be the sheet of Rava of Yeish Shalomidas Haviyeish. When he finds out about it, he's misyayish, and therefore the haskama is already inherent. In any event, that was just a tangent. Let's get back to Maimer Tes of the Pachat Yitzchak. And he says the following. There is a chok, some sort of a law, if you will, which is called Habaha Talia. This and that are interdependent. Let's see if we can understand it. With regard to that category, that quality of Das, and we said before that there are two different qualities or classes of Das, each one that creates a kind of a kesher, a connection, in its respective way. For example, the connection in the case of Noach and the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, where the essence of Menias Mechia, a Shmir al-Akiyum, in other words, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy the world? And there's a commitment here on the part of the Ribono Shel Olam to be Shomer in the world. The Hachroas Hadas that activates this bris is just a Hachrov Yachas. In a certain sense, it's a relative kind of Das, to create a Yachas, a relationship. The Das relates to the Nichusa and the Haskama of the connection between God and the Bnei Noach. It's Haskama on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part to live up to a Chov, to be Poreach Chov. And that Das can relate to a Nigud or a Shlila, something negative. The Das is not what's creating that relationship. The connection itself is not being born, it's not being created, it's only being preserved. The word here is Meshamer. So when we talk about the connection between a Ben Noach and the Sheva Mitzvahs, and we talk about the Bris with Noach, what we're talking about is a Das HaMeshameres. It's an agreement and an acceptance to continue a kiyum, a reality, even beyond a certain point, and for all of eternity. And that's kind of a relationship of yachas. It means, in relationship to this kesher, this connection between man and the natural universe, that man should continue to exist and not be destroyed, in relationship to that, there's something called nichusa, or haskama, a das to accept the situation, the status quo, and have it continue. But in contrast, when we talk about the connection not between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Umos HaOlam as it expresses itself in the Sheva Mitzvahs, when we talk about the commitment of humanity, of mankind, to live up and observe the Sheva Mitzvahs, which is only a connection of Meshamer, as we said, to keep the world going rather than have it destroyed. In contrast, the connection between Klal Yisrael and the Tariq Mitzvahs and the Torah is essentially a creation, as we said before. It's a chidush, a new bria. And therefore we said that the Hachras Hadas that creates this kesher is a Hachra in a positive sense of creating something new. Without that power of Das, This connection between Klal Yisrael and Doraisa would never have come into existence at all. And this premise really lies fundamentally as the premise, the foundation stone that underlies all of Hilchas Deus, all of our ethics, oral Chovos HaLevavos, the obligations of the Jewish heart. And if we look at the Pshuto Shel Mikra, in a pasuk that appears, and we've read it before, in Sefer Dvarim, Re'ein Asati Lefanecha, Es HaTov Es HaRa Lefanecha, means Dafka, in front of you, Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. This is the Pella, this is the amazing thing. As we said before, the choice decision of freedom between two tzadim, between Tov and Ra, is not singularly Jewish. But the Lefanecha tells us that in the language of Tochacha, of rebuke, the Torah is trying to be ma'orer us, to awaken us, by telling us, Re'ein Asati Lefanecha, to some sort of lofty, very high and awesome level of Kiyum Torah Mitzvahs. When the Torah says, U'bacharta b'chayim, what the Torah is saying is, you should know that you, Klal Yisrael, are in a very special position, a very unique opportunity to implement your choice, your bechira, to exercise your faculty of freedom of choice. We're not emphasizing here the two tzadim, you know, are you going to do a mitzvah, are you going to do avera, you know, what are you going to do? That's not the emphasis here. But rather what Hashem is wanting us here when he says, Re'ein Asati Lefanecha, is the fact that through this das, through the process of Hachras Hadas, we, each and every one of us, in a sense, gives birth to the creation of a new Ischaivus. When we enter into the bris of the mitzvahs, we do so on the foundation of Hachras Hadas. The precondition has to be a Hachras Hadas to create this bris. The bris of mitzvos is born as a result of the power of Das. And therefore there must be a decision, a Das decision, in order to accept upon ourselves and create this new commitment, this new bris of Asiyas HaMitzvahs. We are creating a new reality of Chaim. And that Chaim ultimately will be eternal life of Tchiyas HaMesav of the Achris HaYomim. There's a new Das over here of Lefanecha, of Klal Yisrael, and Dafka Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, and no other nation has this ability to have a new entity that is created by Das. This new entity is a bris, a eschaivus, and lafuki, to the exclusion of Noach and the bris of Sheva Mitzvahs. Because in the connection between Noach and the bris, there's no new chiddush of creating a commitment, mikocha shel das. That commitment and that koach to be mechadish something through das is unique to Klal Yisrael in the bris of Tarayag Mitzvahs. Because the commitment to Tarayag Mitzvahs must be preceded by a das, this new das. And this new das ultimately is going to bring to Achris HaYomim, to Tchiyas HaMesim, to the exclusion and in contrast to the system of seven mitzvahs, where there's no such power of creating, of bringing into the world some sort of chidush as a result of a new das. In the case of seven mitzvahs, all we have is the power of kium, as we said before, to preserve that which already exists and to keep the world going rather than destroying it. There's no chidish in the koch of das. And therefore, this pasuk is a kind of tochacha, Re'ina Sati Lefanecha, Sachayim Vesamavs. Here you have a choice of if you use your das in the right way, you can create tchias amesim b'chartam chayim, eternal life. And what we see here is the difference between the os bris of Noach and the os bris of Avram Avinu. In the case of Noach, in Breishis Tess, as we mentioned earlier, the os bris is the keshes. In the case of Avram Avinu, the os bris in Perek Yud Zayin, me say for Breishis, is the mila. And there is a fundamental difference between the two, and that is that in the case of the keshes, the Ramban, in his Pirush al Torah, which you'll see in Perek Tess, Pasuk Yud Beis, the Ramban says, Ein HaKeshes Chidush. The Keshes, the rainbow, is not something new that came into the world at the time of the Bris with Noach. The Keshes was there from the time of Bereishis of creation. At the moment of Krisus Bris, it became an Os. And this is really what we've been saying, that there's a fundamental difference between the two Brisos in their very essences. In the case of Noach, it's Hemsheich HaMetzius HaKayemis, it's to preserve and sustain that reality that already exists. In the case of the Bris of Avram, on the other hand, there's a Chidush, a something new that comes into existence as a result of that Bris. The difference between the two Osos and the two Brisos is that the Os Bris in the case of Noach is taken from reality, a reality that already exists. It's just being given as an Os. In the case of the Os Bris of Avram Avinu, on the other hand, there's a Chidush, there's a new Dmus, there's a new Tavnit, there's a new form of the physical body of man. And basically, if you take a look in the Psukim, you'll really see this distinction in Pshuta Shel Mikra, because in the case of Noach, it says Lidoros Olam. In the case of the Os of Avram Avinu, it says Bris Olam. The word Doros is omitted in the case of the Bris of Avram. And we can explain it as we presented, on the basis of what we presented before. In the case of Bris Noach, which is nothing more than Menias HaMichya, which is a Bris that God will not withhold the source of sustenance, is, you can't talk about a bris that can be described as a bris olam. A bris olam would indicate a chidush, something new that came into the world. It's a bris which is called lidoros olam. The bris is not a havtocha, promise of chidush, and if we don't find any chidush in the os bris. Basically, the promise of God always existed, but man forfeited his right to that promise, and all the generations now are equal in their experience or benefit from the bris. They will all be sustained by this bris, lidoros olam. And the way that this bris active is poelis, its action or its repercussion, its impact is equal to every generation, but not so in the case of the Bris of Avram. The essence of the Bris of Avram is Havtochas Chidush, a Chidush of life, the life that's included in the Tariq Mitzvahs. And that divine promise in its very essence is Chidushim. It's going to be in each generation something brand new. He writes that the power of this divine promise, which is incorporated into the Tariq Mitzvahs and relates the present to the future, to the Achris HaYomim, will be revealed at different moments in history. In other moments it will be concealed. There are moments of Geula in which the present is connected to the future. There are doros, there are generations of golos, of exile, where we don't see any connection to geula, to redemption, and to the achris hayomim. So not all the generations are equal, and therefore the Torah in the parasha of Bris of Avram says Bris Olam, it doesn't say Lidoros Olam. The Bris itself is really a relationship that is general in nature to the entire universe, to all the generations, but in terms of how that bris expresses itself in reality and materializes in each generation, there it becomes not Kloli but Prati. Each generation will experience that bris in a different way. To what extent is the present connected with Geula? And there are generations of Geula, there are generations on the other hand of Galus, and therefore it's only a bris olam. The bris in a specific relationship to any particular generation is unique to that generation because it's a koach of chidush. And perhaps now we can at this point swing back to the Ramban's introduction to Milchamas Hashem that we began with, in which he said that the Chachmas HaTalmud doesn't have a mofes chotech, as we find in mathematics, physics, and other forms of natural science and natural chachma. Is this a statement implying the weakness of the chachma, the knowledge, and the wisdom of our Talmud? Oh no. On the contrary, this difference fundamentally between Chachmas HaTeva and Chachmas HaTorah, this is not apologetics. You know, we're not apologizing for the lack of clarity and the decision-making process in the rules and laws of Torah. We're not saying that the laws and regulations that govern nature, as investigated by the Chachmei Tishboros and Tchuna, are superior to that, to those laws of the Torah. On the contrary, the great chiddush, the glory, and the pride of Chachmas HaTalmud is the negation of Mofes, of the possibility of bringing evidence and proving it with empirical proofs. What it means is the following: the difference between the bris of Noach and the bris of Avram, which means that in the world of humanity, in the world of reality, in the world of science, that's a relationship to a metzius that already exists. The chachma, the wisdom, is related to a world that exists and operates according to its regulations. On the other hand, the chachma of Torah, which is the chachma of the bris Avram, is a relationship to chidush, to something that hasn't yet come into existence. In the case of the bris Noach, as we said, the bris is on preservation of the reality that already exists. And really the essence of science is to study and investigate that reality that already exists, to use our intellect to grasp that which already exists, the metzius hakayemes of the laws of nature as they exist. The bris of Avram, the content of which is not preserving that which exists, but to create a new reality, which, as we said before, that new reality connects with a world of Achris HaYamin that doesn't exist yet, is therefore the knowledge that relates to this bris is not an investigation of something that exists, that already exists, but rather an investigation of the ways and the powers that operate within an approach of creating a new Yetzira, new Metzius, that will come into existence at the time of the Achris HaYamin. So here we're really touching on the point, the sharp point of Mofes Chotech. The Mofes Chotech of any science is taken from the reality of that science. Every science in and of itself respectively has its investigation of a particular Metzius, and therefore every science is in a sense sustained by its reality. The reality gives the science its existence, the pre-existing reality. What the science is meant to do is to grasp the rules and regulations and then prove them by going back to the Metzius from which they started. That's the Mofes Chotech, And that's absolutely necessary for the science. So the science, in a sense, is dependent upon the mofes chote, because its nourishment comes from the mitzius. And you have to go back to that mitzius to prove your theories and your understanding of the rules and regulations of the law of nature, the world of causality. But in the case of Chochmas Talmudenu, which carries within it a creation of a reality that's going to come in the future into materialize itself and realize itself, it's mufka by its very concept, by its very essence, from mofes v'chotech, because you're creating something that doesn't exist. The only test that you can use to apply to the Chochmas HaTalmud is the Bechina of Mofes Chotav HaGonuv Gonuz, which is hidden away for the future in the reality of the Akris HaYomim. Is Mimela, at this point in time, when we're living in the present and not in that future of Akris HaYomim, it's impossible to prove our Talmud through Mofes Chote by going back to reality, and you know, you throw the ball up and it comes down and all the other scientific experiments and proofs that they do. So it comes out, therefore, that the deficiency of Mofes Chotech with regard to the Chochmah of HaTalmud is its very glory, its very greatness. Because if Chas V'Shalom, the Talmud could be proven in reality, then basically the Chochmah of Talmud would just be another Hechatimtza of appreciating the operations and the regulations that govern nature, which lend themselves to a chotech, to a mofes chotech. Once again, if we would reduce, but by introducing a system of verification from physical reality into the Chochmas HaTalmud, the world of Chochmas HaTalmud, we would be lowering the Chochmas HaTalmud to a hechatimtza, a way of understanding the rules that are proven in a laboratory, then our Talmud, the Chochmah of that Talmud, will be converted into basically a Chochmah of investigating reality. We investigate reality. My Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, used to always say, you know, don't say something that's balabatish, meaning that's indicative of just what you think is the reality. That's something that belongs to Chochmahs. Chochmah Chitzon is the Chochmah Sateva. What we have to be careful about is making sure and guaranteeing the purity of Chochmah Satalmud as a Chochmah Yotzeres, which creates a new reality. That our Chochmah, that our Talmud as a science is not there to study reality. No. That's not what Chochmah Satalmud is about. That would be a stira b'nei ubeh. Just like it's impossible to bring an oath and a proof of Tchias HaMesim, so too there's no other proofs that are applicable to the Talmud, the Chochmas HaTalmud. K'shem shel yitochin sheha'os al Tchias HaMesim tiyeh'os ha'keshes, the keshes, which is just a chetimtza to keep the world going, or shall we say to prove that God is committed to this bris to keep the world going, maintain its existence through the laws of nature. It couldn't be that Tchias HaMesim would be in any way a similar concept of an Os HaKeshes. Tchias HaMesim is something that doesn't exist in this world, in this reality as we know it in the created world. Whereas the Os HaKeshes is totally connected to this world and the reality as we know it, the world of science and biology of causality. It's impossible to have a verification or a proof for any of the Chochmah of the Talmud by looking into a laboratory and making an experiment and verifying the Chochmah of the Talmud. And if this be the case, then perhaps we can shed a light on Hofas Chochmas HaTeva Mechayeves, on why it is that there's a Chiyuv Bracha for Chochmas HaTeva, but only when we confront a chacham mi umas haolam. But if the bailim of this chachmas hateva is a member of the Jewish people, then that bailus on the chachmas mufka from engendering a chiyuv bracha for that chachma. And the reason, the really internal reason for that, on a level of pnimius, is, we'll base this on a similar parallel mashal, in the case of making a bracha on smelling besamim, which is called birchas hareach hatov, there's a very interesting limitation. The halacha requires that which you are smelling has to be miyuchad, the omeid lahanos reach, has to be something that by its very nature and by its very essence lends itself to the pleasure, the enjoyment of smell. If you look in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Yud Zayin, you will see that there are different types of besamim, and not every type of besamim engenders a birchas hareach on hanos hareach. We only make a bracha if the nature of this bosem is that it lends itself for the hanos hareach. But if you have something that lends itself to other hanos and also to hanos hareach, but primarily it's not miyuchad, it's not designated for hanos hareach, his language, reach tov ha'ola mimakar she'eno miyuchad lo l'reach, in other words, the anos ha'reach is tafel, that doesn't engender a chiyuv bracha. The bracha requires ikar l'reach, only something that's miyuchad, that's designated for reach. And the tafel, if the reach, the anos reach is tafel in terms of the ano of that object, is, there's no bracha. We don't make a bracha on a tafel. And if we use this mashal in order to understand the nimshal, which is the chachma, and we're talking about chachma sateva, there's a fundamental difference between the seichel, the power of intellect of a Jew, and the power of intellect of the Ummah Sa'olam and the nations of the world. In the case of the Seichel of Adam Yisrael, its original designation is for the Chachma that creates a new Yetzirah, a new Metzius, the Chachma that creates Tchias HaMesim, the Chachma that connects this world to the next world. And therefore, if that's the primary nature and capacity of the Chachma of Adam Yisrael, then there's no bracha in the case of another Israel on a chakira, on an investigation and a knowledge that is acquired in the Metzias HaKayemes, because that is a manifestation of the chachma that's not the chachma miyuchedes lo. In other words, the primary chachma of a Jew is the chachma that creates a new Metzius, the chachma of chachmas HaTorah, not the Chachma of Chachmas HaTeva. And therefore, in the case of a Jewish scientist, his appearance doesn't engender or generate a Chiyuv Bracha, because the Metzius of his Chachma is not in the form of an Ikar of the primary designation. His primary designation in terms of his intellect is for Chachmas HaTorah. His secondary manifestation of intellect is Chochmas HaTeva, which is Tofel. And the Tofel does not engender a bracha. It's like a Jew who, instead of believing that there will be Tchias HaMesim, he believes that there won't be a Mabul. In other words, a Jew has the capacity of connecting to Tchias HaMesim, to a world that doesn't exist yet. He can create that world. But if a person wants to express his connection to a bris, he's a Jew who expresses his connection to a bris, and he believes in the bris of the mabul, that's not a fulfillment of his connection to a bris. His connection to a bris is not to the bris hakeshes, to the rainbow, as a substitute for the bris of milah, because he has the designation of the bris hamilah not to connect with a reality that already exists, but rather a future reality that is going to be created. And if you look in Tehillim, in Kapitel Lamed Vav, Kimcha Mekar Chaim Biorech Nira Ar, let's listen to what this pasuk is telling us. There's an emphasis here on this statement of David HaMelech. The reality of Ar can be grasped in two different ways. On the one hand, Es Metzius Ha'ar Efshel Litfos B'Shnei Ofanim. We're talking about Bi'orcha Nire Ar. How do we see this light? What is the experience of seeing this light? Number one, it's possible that the light is functioning in a, shall we say, a secondary capacity. We want to see the Sviva, we want to see everything around us, and we need that the place be lit up. We don't see the light itself. What we're really looking at is the Sviva. You know, I'm looking at a person or at a painting, at a room, a living room, and its furniture. I need the light to help me see that which is there in reality. But there's another type of experience in which we're not interested in seeing anything else but the light itself. In which case, the light is our primary object. That's what we're seeing and that's what we're focusing on. In the first case, the R is experienced b'derech to'ochacha mimakom acher. Notes from the fact that I'm able to see what I'm seeing in this vision, that's a proof that there is R there. In the second way, the R is grasped or experienced as mineyube, in and of itself. In the first case again, as we emphasized, if you talk about, let's say, makar, original, or tolda, or a result, or a byproduct, in the first case, I'm tofes the R as a byproduct. It's engendered by the sviva that I'm looking at. In the second case, the R is original. It's a tfis of makar. When we declare in David HaMelech's Tehillim, the archa nira R, the purpose, the substance of this statement, of this declaration, is lafuke, is to the exclusion of the first type of grasping R. The light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Oro Yisbarach, we don't need to grasp it through a raya, must exist because, but rather through a hasug of re'iyah, we see it. It's direct. Imcha makar chayim. You are the source of light. And since you are the source of life, and since you are the source of life of existence, all of existence depends upon you, is therefore our grasping of the light is the light as bi'archanira, or as a makar, as a source. When we experience the light only because of the sviva that's lit up as a result of the light, that's the tfis of tolda. Then the light becomes secondary. It becomes proven as a result of the sviva that I'm looking at. But because etzlecha makar chayim, because everything exists, because you, God, will it to exist, therefore bi'archa nira ar. This is really a deeper understanding of pnimius of Neros Chanukah. Ein lana rishus l'shtamish bem, says the Braisa, elo l'rosam bilvat. What that really means is Bi'archa nira'ar. This is the source for the Braisa of Haneru Salolu Masechta Sofrim. For the Matbe of the Braisa of Haneru Salolu. It's Bi'archa nire or. The deeper meaning under the surface of this matbe, of this bracha, is that the or of Ner Chanukah, as it lights, has to be grasped as a tfis of makar. That means mireu be. It's not a tfis of tolda. The or Chanukah is not tolda because it lights up the sviva. Ein lana rishus l'shtamish b'hem. Don't look at the or of Ner Chanukah as something that sheds light on whatever you're looking at and whatever you want to see. You want to read a book, so you use the Archanika to give you light. What's the Elol Erosam Bilvad? And if we understand the entire nature of Chanukah, celebrating the freedom from Golus Yavon, then we understand that it's the Archa Nire Ar, that Elol Erosam Bilvad, to see the Ner Chanukah, not as a Ner that sheds light on what I want to enjoy, that's Lishtamish B'hem. No, L'Rosam Bilvad, the Golus of Yavon, is very unique, because its goal, and this was the agenda of the Yavonim, was Golus of Chachmas Talmudenu, to denigrate our Chachma in comparison to the Chachma Chitzonis, the Chachma of Teva. There are many different dimensions to the Golus of Yavon, but one of them, and this perhaps is the most important one, is the pressure in its attack against Chochmas Talmudenu. It really presents Chochma as superior, as the most powerful and primary Chochma, and it tramples upon the Chochma of our Talmud with a chutzpah of Mofes Chotech. That's what the Yavonim claim. We can prove our reality. It can be sensed. This was Aristotle's belief in empirical science. And we experience the freedom and the redemption from this drisa, from this chutzpah, in which the Chachmei Teva, the Chachmei Yavon, put down the Chochmas HaTorah. And how do we experience this redemption? Because we recognize with a powerful acknowledgement that our Chachma, our Talmud, is not a wisdom that depends upon and is a result of a tolda of a pre-existing reality. This is the source. This is a makar. It's not a tolda. It's a source for the ultimate reality in the future, what we call Achris HaYomim or Ketchias HaMesim. And that itself is the deeper meaning of the fact that there's no Mofes Chotech with regard to our Chachma. Because if there were a Mofes Chachma, Mofes Chotech, if the reality would prove our Chachma, it would mean that our Chachma is a Tolda, which is engendered, is created by the physical, natural reality. But we rather understand and we appreciate that the Chachma of HaTalmud is original. It's B'nei Ubei. It has its own light, its own wisdom. It's the wisdom of the divine being. It's not a tolda. It's not to be grasped in the method of Mofes Chotech, of empirical reality, to prove it in a laboratory. And this is the greatness and the beauty and the grandeur of Neiros Chanukah. The Neiros Chanukah meant to be shofea, meaning to pour and shed on us the concept of the R, of the freedom from the Golus Chachma, the Golus of Chachmei Atev, of the Yavonim. The Oros represent the Purkan of being Tofes, of grasping that light through a Re'ia, Mineu Bei. The Skula of the Ner Chanukah, to shed a light that enters and penetrates into the Nefesh with a tchuna, with a characteristic of makar, of source, of Bnei Ubei. And this is Me'imcha Mekar Chaim. You are the source God of all life, of all existence, past, present, and future. Be'archa Nira'or. Ein lana rishus l'shtamish b'hem. We cannot convert the Or of Ner Chanukah into something secondary. into something that's a Tola because it's established and recognized because it sheds light on something? In reality, no. El Lerosa Bilvad, to see the Ner Chanukah directly. This is Biarcha Ner Ar, Yiratzush Mizoche, to see the Ar of Ner Chanukah as it is. The Ar of Makar, the Ar that represents the Purkan of the Golus of Chachmas HaTeva, the freedom and the greatness and the acknowledgement of that which is unique, of Chachmas Talmudenu, that is not dependent upon this world of Mofes Chotech, the Chachmas HaTalmud that creates something just like the Bris of Avram and the Bris of Klal Yisrael vis-a-vis the Tariq Mitzvahs creates a new reality. So too our Chachma, our Talmud, creates a new reality. It connects the present with the future. May we zoch into that glorious future at the time of Tchias HaMesim of Achris HaYamim, Bimheirav Yamenu, Amen.